This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Wednesday, June 10th, 2026. I am Dave Biddle, very happy joined by Patrick Murphy. Man, the summer's flying by. I know it's not even technically summer yet, but I looked up, I said June 10th, and I'm like, man, preseason camp's going to be here in less than 2 months. It's pretty crazy. But good to see you, Pat. I want to start off, we're going to talk a lot of Ohio State football, obviously, on the show. Pat did a couple of stories this week looking at the projected starters on offense and defense. We're going to get into some of those spots that might be a little up in the air, so to speak, with camp less than 2 months away. And we're going to talk about maybe some quick takeaways from the recruiting camp yesterday. But I want to start off with the Brendan Sorsby situation. And, I mean, it's just – it's not unbelievable because I thought there was a good chance that this judge would give him an injunction, and that's what happened. It's just – it's sad for the sport. I want to get into, like, what can be done. Big Ten – now, they didn't come out and have a statement or anything. This is kind of leaked. The Big Ten's basically threatening to not schedule Texas Tech in any sport. Now, if Ohio State makes the CFP and they're playing Texas Tech in the quarterfinals, is Ohio State going to sit that game out? No, of course not. They're going to just want to kick their butt. But I like the idea of not scheduling Texas Tech in any sport. Is that feasible, though, in your opinion?
Sure. I mean, I think really for other conferences, it's really the only course of action. And it's sad, like you said, Dave, that we got to this point. I mean, somebody I saw on social media went through major betting scandals for players recently in other sports. Every single one was either out for multiple years or for life. There was, you know, to use a recent example that sort of hits close to home in Columbus, you probably know this, Dave, there were two former Columbus Crew players who got, in Major League Soccer, that got in trouble for gambling. Neither of them can play in the league. Now, there's other places they can go play. One may retire. But in baseball, we've seen it plenty of times. So the fact that in college football, you can bet not only on the sport, but on your own team and still find a way through this crazy, you know, let's just sue everything we don't like in this sport way that we've gotten into. I mean, where do you go from here? And I guess the Big Ten's solution is, hey, we won't schedule this school, kind of put some pressure on the school and maybe the Big 12 to do something about this. And you know, but if the Big 12 says Brendan Sorsby can't play, then what, you know, how does the injunction work? I just assume that there's not much that can be done at this point other than teams not willing to schedule them. Are Big 12 teams going to come out and say, we're not going to play them? Like, are you willing to forfeit your games for the betterment of the sport overall? Probably not. You probably want to play those games. I mean, Texas Tech's going to be pretty good, especially with Brendan Sorsby. So maybe, but yeah, I mean, look, there's just nothing anybody can do because we've gone down this rabbit hole of, oh, I don't like this rule. I'm going to sue the NCAA or I'm going to sue the conference, whatever it may be. And now you're kind of stuck with the biggest issue we've had so far in college athletics, where a player blatantly broke a rule that everyone knows. This isn't like, hey, you know, I accidentally took something that popped up on a drug test, or, you know, I was gambling before. He was covering this up. He knew what he was doing was wrong. I understand there's the mental health side of it, and I want to respect that. But also, is everybody who does something wrong then going to pull the mental health card? And again, I'm not taking a shot at Sorsby here, but I have friends that are very into gambling. We make jokes all the time about here's the hotline when they have some ridiculous bet. This is beyond that. Like, not only are you addicted to it, but you're blatantly cheating because you know that it's against the rules. And the fact that you can just go find a judge down there in Lubbock who will side in your favor in this is just crazy that this is where the sport has come. So that's a long-winded answer to say, I don't know if the Big Ten will go through with this. I think it's a fine idea. I just don't know if it ultimately does anything down the road, because I think Brendan Sorsby is going to play this year, because the appeal hearing is not till I think February, well after the national championship game. So what do you do?
Yeah. And the idea that he only, bet on Indiana to win, he wasn't throwing games because he wasn't participating. He wasn't participating, but there were a couple of bets where he bet on Indiana's quarterback to go under his passing yards. I mean, that's pretty bad right there. And yeah, I mean, people are like, well, what can be done now? Is there any recourse? Well, the NCAA, I'm sure, will appeal. Here's what I read, though. The appellate court has four judges on it that would see this case. All four of them are Texas Tech grads. And now the judge who was pseudo-retired, he retired back in 2014. He was actually a Houston grad living in Fort Worth. So he wasn't a Texas Tech grad. But what I keep pointing, people are like, oh, well, he was a Houston grad, not a Texas Tech grad. Yeah, because there's no Ohio State fans that didn't go to Ohio State, right? I never met any Dayton Flyer fans growing up in Dayton that weren't Dayton grads, right? No, half of them were Dayton grads, half of them weren't. Tons of Ohio State fans that didn't go to Ohio State. We called Michigan Michigan State named them the Walmart Wolverines, because all these Michigan fans never went to Michigan. So the idea that this judge that gave him the injunction is completely neutral because he didn't go to Texas Tech. He lives in Texas. The case was held in Lubbock. I don't know. The whole thing just stinks to high heaven. But I did see that if the NCAA appeals it, which I think they definitely will, this appellate court has all four judges are Texas Tech grads.
Yeah, and where do we go from here, I guess, is if you can get away with this, because whether you're gambling for your team or not, which I've seen some people argue that fact of like, well, he was gambling for his team. It doesn't matter. You can't gamble on sports when you're playing them. That's just what we know that.
And Pete Rose. Yeah.
Yeah,
Pete Rose.
Exactly.
Pete Rose bet on the Reds to win, but you can't do that.
Yeah. And like, we could have the conversation about whether should you be allowed to do that, because you are, you're trying to win anyway, right? That's what you want the athletes to do. But the rules are the rules, and everyone knows this. This isn't like a small rule. As you mentioned, Pete Rose. I mean, you can think of lots of names of guys that have gotten in trouble for this. So as I said, Brendan Sorsby knew what he was doing. And it also is crazy to me, because it's not like he doesn't have other options. He could go to the supplemental draft. He could be in the NFL. Like, the kid is talented enough. It's not like this is the end of his career if he can't play at Texas Tech this year. So for the judge to come out and say, the damage that it would cause and all this stuff, like, the kid could just go pro. And, maybe he doesn't make as much in the NFL as he is at Texas Tech, but that, don't break the rules, man.
Yeah, as someone who grew up, I mean, I remember watching Pete get his breaking Ty Cobb's record, and it was just so cool watching it with my family as a little kid and a group of big Pete Rose fans. My dad loved him. And that broke my heart. That broke my heart because I didn't want to believe it, and then it was just too much evidence, and he denied it for years, but it was clear. For a while, I remember being like, was I like in seventh grade or something like that? I remember thinking, oh, Pete would never do that, and I was kind of in denial for a while, but then all the evidence came out, and I'm like, he freaking did it, and that broke my heart. And then, like, the idea that he was only betting on the Reds to win, the problem with that was when he didn't bet on the Reds, that was signaling to the bookies, oh, Pete's not Pat, doesn't have any action on tonight's game. He probably thinks the Reds are going to lose. So it's just – and the idea that Sorsby is going to – and how about the charade of suspending him for two games? Abilene Christian and Oregon State. I mean, two games for betting on your own team.
And he who's also, the third game?
Houston.
Yeah, right. So that's like with Texas Tech and Texas, Texas being like, we'll schedule you, and then realizing they have to play Ohio State the next week. So that's not happening. Yeah. It's the whole thing's just asinine. It's just crazy.
Yeah, we'll put a bow on that discussion right there. It is asinine. It's asinine. It's asa 10. All right, asa 11. All right, let's get into some starting jobs that are undecided, so to speak. You did a couple of stories this week. I was perusing them. Let's start with wide receiver. You shockingly have Jeremiah Smith as a starter and Brandon Ennis. And then the third one, I was curious who you had. And you have Devin McEwen. A lot of people have Chris Henry Jr. penciled in as the number three receiver. But I'm with you on that. I think McEwen – I mean, Chris Henry Jr. is going to play a lot, and maybe he will start some games. But I think McEwen, when they trot out there in the opener, when they trot out there against Texas, will probably be a starter. Why'd you have McEwen in there?
I think the production that he's had over the course of his career, and I know he's at UTSA, which is not a one of the power conferences, but he has played at least, I think every year at least once, he has played against a power conference. He didn't light it up, but he was productive in those games. And I thought, based on his spring practice, I thought he looked the part. You know, he didn't look out of place playing at Ohio State, and you know, the defense at Ohio State's pretty good, even though they lose eight starters every year, it seems. I also think, and this will be a common theme, I think, in the positions we talk about, I don't know how much starting matters at wide receiver, because I do think we're going to see Ohio State get back to rotating more guys in. I think there could be a game where, based on the play that they want to run, Kyle Parker is out there on the first snap. Or, you know, maybe they run just two receivers out there to start the game and have more tight ends. You know, so, this may come out that the first play of the Ball State game, Devin McEwen isn't on the field, but that doesn't mean he's not going to play a lot. Same to be said about Kyle Parker. Same could be said about Chris Henry Jr., I think, as the season goes on. As I've said multiple times, and I think we're in agreement here, Dave, I think Chris Henry Jr. is probably on a Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jackson Smith and Jigba type of path where he's going to play. But as the season goes on, you'll see him more and more. And then really by that sophomore season, he becomes the guy in the receiver room. Jeremiah Smith, I wrote earlier this offseason that Chris Henry Jr. doesn't need to be Jeremiah Smith. Like, there's only one Jeremiah Smith. And when you're Ohio State, I think it often takes time for these guys to get on the field. That list of names are all pro guys in the NFL, right? All first round draft picks. And they didn't all start week one. Jeremiah Smith is different. And to expect Chris Henry Jr. to be Jeremiah Smith and start game one is I think a little bit unfair to Chris. That's not to say he couldn't do it. If he goes out and lights it up in fall camp, building off of what he did in the spring game, maybe he does. But I just think on the safe side of things, I'm going with the guy who has the most experience, the most production at this level. And, you know, will Chris Henry Jr. play against Ball State? Yeah. Could he end up being the guy that we're talking about the most coming out of that game? Absolutely. I just think if we're talking starters for week one, I think it'll probably be the most experienced guy to go with the other two most experienced guys in that room.
You remember spring of 2023, Carnell Tate was an early enrollee, and he just shined during spring.
Yeah.
And when we were out there, he balled out. Ryan Day was talking him up. Brian Hartland was talking him up. The veterans were all talking about that Carnell Tate's a stud. He caught 18 balls as a true freshman, to your point. I mean, and he ends up being a superstar. Number four pick of the draft, first wide receiver off the board. And he caught 18 balls as a true freshman. You're right. I mean, JJ is the exception to the rule. Garrett Wilson played a decent amount, but as you mentioned, it was like more toward the end of the year.
And he had 30 catches as a freshman, which is the most other than Jeremiah, but still not, you know, you're not getting All-American with 30 catches.
Exactly. So now Chris Henry Jr. doesn't have maybe two studs ahead of him like some of those guys.
Agreed.
You know, so maybe he'll have more of a chance. But, yeah, I think he'll have more than 18 catches. Maybe he'll have more than 30. But, yeah, I would bet like right around 40, somewhere around there at the most, because it's just – as Jeremiah Smith is the only exception to the rule there. All right, let's move right along. I was curious what you were going to do at offensive line. Not a lot of starting jobs that are undecided, but I was curious what you're going to do at left tackle. I've been saying Ian Moore is my prediction, and they're going to kick Austin Saravelle to right guard. Great minds think alike. You had the exact same thing. So why Ian Moore at left tackle and Saravelle kicking over to right guard?
I just think if Ohio State is to be believed when they talk about the offensive line and say they want the best five, this is the best five, not maybe the best five individuals, potentially. You can make that argument. But in terms of the way it all goes together, Ian Moore is a tackle. You know, just looking at him and everything, he was brought to Ohio State to be a tackle. Austin Sereveld, we know he can play tackle. We also know he played guard, started at guard for the national champions, right? So for me, because you have these other spots already set, I guess you could argue right tackle. Ian Moore took some reps there before Austin Sereveld got hurt this spring. He started there in the Purdue game. So if you wanted to say, okay, leave Austin at left tackle, Phillip Daniels is the one that you want to take out, then you're making more switches because Phillip Daniels probably isn't going to play right guard. So now you got to figure out who you want at right guard. So I just think that gets a little more murky than just say, hey, Austin, let's go back to right guard where you played and played really well and are probably going to play at the NFL level. And let's get Ian out there. Now, Ian has to continue what he did in the spring, really building off of that second half against Miami in the college football playoff. I thought once Austin Sereveld went down, once Phillip Daniels went down, I thought he looked really good. I know the right side of the offensive line struggled with those guys out, but I thought Ian Moore showed I can hang with these defensive ends, the defensive linemen and everything on Ohio State's defense. So I think he has done enough thus far. He's got to continue to earn that job. And then I just think it fits more. You know, you got Ian Moore at left tackle, natural fit. Your two guards are Sereveld and Montgomery. Those are natural guards. You've got your center. And then Phillip Daniels, I think, is the tenacity, the fight, sort of the toeing the line. Like, I really liked that last year from him. Now, he has to clean some things up. He did get some penalties. Remember, this was his first year as a real starter. He started those last four games out of necessity at Minnesota. So I think room to grow. And this is a kid, everyone we talk to about him, and I think you hear the same, Dave, like, he wants to get better. He's constantly around the Woody working, things like that. So I think you'll see him take another step in his second year as a starter. And so then you've got four guys who have started a full season, and then Ian Moore, who I think makes the most sense at left tackle just based on his natural position.
Let's kick over to defense. Again, not a lot of starting jobs up for grabs on defense, but there are three or four. All right, so defensive end, we know Kenyatta Jackson Jr. is going to be a starter, and I keep going back and forth on who's going to start opposite him. And I know they're going to rotate guys, as you pointed out in your story. I keep going, is it going to be Zion Grady, who as a true freshman last year was getting a lot of snaps as like that number three defensive end, the first guy off the bench? Is it going to be Bo Atkinson, who didn't really do much last year, but as a fifth-year senior, we've seen him. He had a really good year as a third-year sophomore at North Carolina, had 7.5 sacks, and had a really good offseason, they said. It looked good in the spring, so maybe as a fifth-year senior, he can do some damage. Quay Rousseau, he's a guy that definitely flashed during spring. He's a smaller defensive end, but he adds that, you know, a lot of quickness. He's only like 6'2", 240, I believe. So I was Zion Grady, Bo Atkinson, or Quay Rousseau, and you went with Bo Atkinson. Why?
Yeah. Remember, this is week one, right? And I think first of all, I think it's possible that they come out with three defensive linemen to start the game. Like I said, with wide receiver, like it'll be based on what they want to do on that play, what the offense is. In the spring game, they came out with three linebackers to start the game, which we know is not Ohio State's base defense, but it was based on what the offense was doing to start that game. So maybe it's just Kenyatta Jackson on the field for week one to start the game. But I think Bo Atkinson, with his experience, what he did at North Carolina, as you mentioned, and go look at his production. It's solid. It's really solid. And I know the Big Ten's a jump up in Ohio State. And I think that was the issue for Bo Atkinson last year, was making that transition and being able to compete at the level that Ohio State had, not to mention you had Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson in there. But I really liked what I saw in the spring. And then yesterday when we were out at Ohio State's recruiting camp, Bo Atkinson was in there that morning while we were kind of waiting around to get things started. Working with the one-on-one with the coach, like, this kid clearly is putting in the effort this offseason to not have the type of season he had a year ago. So again, will it matter? Could it be Zion Grady? Could it be Quay Rousseau? Remember, Rousseau is kind of transitioning from that hybrid linebacker defensive end position that he played at Alabama. That's not to say he couldn't, pick up where he left off at defensive end when he was younger. But I just think Bo Atkinson is a safe bet for that first snap of the game. And I really think he can have a more productive year. I think Kenyatta Jackson's going to be the guy coming off the edge. But I think Bo Atkinson can contribute significantly more than he did in his first year at Ohio State.
Sorry, I didn't see the sarcasm there from one of our listeners in the chat. He said, what about Tegra? And I said, Tegra transferred to UK. He's like, I know. I was joking. Sorry. Didn't catch your sarcasm there. Now I'm getting all choked up just thinking about it.
It's almost football season.
Yeah, that's right. And then one tech D tackle. You have John Walker. Others that'll be in the mix. James Smith can play both spots. I thought he was going to be a three tech, but he said he was playing. He wants to be able to play both spots. So James Smith, the transfer from Alabama, can play some one tech. Will Smith Jr. can play some one tech. You went with John Walker as the starter.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Yeah. So it was actually Will Smith who started with Edric Houston in the spring game. So I thought about that. But first of all, James Smith, you mentioned, can play both positions. So if you don't start him, you have the option of putting him in wherever. I need to see more from James Smith. I'm going to be honest. I know he played at Alabama, started a bit, but that wasn't the Alabama defense under Nick Saban. I need to see a bit more. John Walker's a guy that they recruited coming out of high school really, really heavily. Like, they wanted John Walker. He had the injury that lost him a year down in Florida. So he had to sort of come back from that. But I think just from a fit perspective next to Edric Houston, this makes a lot of sense. But again, they're going to rotate guys in there. You know, I think this is the ideal situation for Larry Johnson. You know, think back to a handful of years ago when the defensive line was rotating all the time. Now, they didn't do that as much on the interior as they did on the edges, but I still think that this is going to be a position where you're going to see Edric Houston, James Smith, John Walker, Will Smith Jr., maybe another guy. Does Jason Moore work his way into a mix there? There's been some positive talk. One of the guys we were talking to yesterday at the camp said, Larry Johnson sort of compared him to Jason Moore and that he's had a really good offseason. So ultimately, I don't think it's going to matter. I went with John Walker just because I think that's a guy they've had their eye on for a long time. And as soon as he went in the transfer portal, they were quick to jump on that. But again, it could be any of these guys.
Yeah, James Smith, I think, played. We have a question in the chat. Somebody thinking that James Smith is a defensive end. I think he played some 3-4, like strong side D end at Alabama, but he's definitely a D tackle at Ohio State. He was taking all of his reps either at 3-tech or 1-tech defensive tackle at Ohio State. So,
could he go to the outside? Like I said, if they go 3 linemen, could he be the, I guess I don't know what Will Smith Jr. is the interior guy there, the sort of rushman 3 down lineman with more pass rushers standing up. That will be interesting to see kind of what that package looks like, because you don't have a Caden McDonald size guy to just throw in the middle there. And, because remember, Edric Houston was a defensive end at one point in time too, right? He came off, he was coming off the edge early in his career. So when they do go to 3 linemen, what does that look like? That's going to be an interesting question, because I don't think we saw much of that in the spring.
Yeah, and I agree with Mika in the chat. I mean, just cross-train all those guys, rotation, depth is good, rotating is good, guys being able to play multiple spots is good. Bo Atkinson's big enough, but he can go inside. And James Smith, even though he did play some defensive end at Alabama earlier in his career, he's a big boy. He's up to 314 pounds. I think he was closer to like 295 earlier in his career at Alabama. He's up to 314 and looking good. He's not like 314, but he's out of shape. He was looking good. All right. Safety. Opposite Jalen McClain. I'm really, really high on Jalen McClain. I think he's going to have a huge year as a second-year starter this year. Thought he was solid last year as a sophomore, Pat, but I think Jalen McClain's going to be, you know, a difference maker this year. And it's either going to be him or Peyton Pierce wearing that green dot as kind of the, you know, the captain of the defense, so to speak. But the opposite Jalen McClain, Leroy Roker took most of the first-team reps during spring, and Terry Moore took – he rotated in as well, the transfer from Duke, knocking off some dust – or some rust, I should say, from the ACL injury and sitting out last year. You have Terry Moore as the starter over Leroy Roker. Talk to me about that.
Well, Terry Moore started the spring game. And that's not the end-all be-all, but he was the first team guy by the end. Now, Earl Little was hurt. I think we should mention that. But I do think, first of all, I think this defense will be able to be more fluid, more flexible with their positions. Jalen McClain was a guy we saw again yesterday at the camp. He looks like a linebacker, just the mass that he, the muscle that he's put on. I think he'll play more in the box like Caleb Downs did. I think you'll see guys kind of shifting and rotating from where they line up pre-snap. So again, this could be a very fluid thing. But yeah, I think, first of all, Matt Guerrieri really likes Terry Moore. He recruited him to Duke. I've talked to Matt Guerrieri about Terry Moore. He's really excited about you know, what this kid can do. 2 years ago, he was a stud, second team all ACC. You know, actually, if you believe the Pro Football Focus grades, and I know those can be a little hit or miss, but they actually had him rated slightly above Caleb Downs in terms of safeties in 2024. I don't buy that entirely, but I think it just shows the type of player Terry Moore can be when he's healthy. By all accounts, he is. So I think, while you and I talked about this on a show coming out of the season, how high I am on Leroy Roker, but I wouldn't be surprised if he is a rotational guy this season, plays a lot, but maybe doesn't start a ton. And then next season is when he really kind of takes over as the guy, because remember, they're going to lose, I think, this entire safety, you know, this group that we're talking about here with Moore and Jalen McClain and Earl Little. So, you know, Leroy Roker's time is coming, and he's definitely going to be in the mix. But given Matt Guerrieri's relationship, the way he's talked about him, I think that first snap will go to Terry Moore. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's Leroy Roker.
I was convinced entering spring it was going to be Terry Moore. And then, you know, Leroy Roker had a good spring, although, as you
he
said,
did, yeah.
Not start the spring game. After one practice, Ryan Day had him address the team. The kid's a third-year sophomore addressing the team. I mean, I was like, geez, he's really stepping up. So, but I like the depth here, because if the starters are what we think they will be, obviously, with Devin Sanchez and Jermaine Matthews at corner, Earl Little Jr. and nickel, and then Jalen McClain and Terry Moore at safety, you still have Leroy Roker adding good depth at safety off the bench. Dominic Kelly was maybe the pleasant surprise of spring, in my opinion. I thought he was going to be a depth piece. Nope. He'll be the first corner off the bench and will probably play a lot.
He may start some games if they put Jermaine Matthews at nickel. I know you said in here that Little will be the nickel, but I think these guys are going to move around a lot. Like, I think it's going to be, you know, even pre-snap, and then what they do post-snap might be very different based on what we saw in the spring.
It's one of the things I love about Patricia.
Yeah.
You have no idea what he's going to do if you're the offense, and that's how he likes it. All right. We'll get you out of here on this. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. Ohio State had its first recruiting camp yesterday, one-day recruiting camp. We'll have the second one tomorrow. They have two more next week, the one-day camps. They're also having two 7-on-7 camps, 7-on-7 tournaments. One is today and one is next week. Big names. I know you did a story on Kellen Hall. We're going 2028 kids now. Wow. He's the number 3 defensive lineman in the country in the 2028 class. He was at the camp yesterday, young man from Louisville. What do you tell the listeners a little bit about Kellen Hall, where things stand with Ohio State, maybe anything else that stood out to you from yesterday?
Yeah, really impressive. Both his play and then when we were talking to him afterwards, you know, he's a guy, looks you in the eye when he answers a question. Shook everyone's hand when he walked up to the group of us that were waiting to interview. Yes, sir. That type of guy, which, like, from an on-field perspective, I know fans don't care about that, but just That's the type of guy that Ohio State recruits. You know this, Dave. But on the field, he was the guy, and I think this is always sort of indicative, especially with Larry Johnson. He was the guy that went first in all the drills and was the one Larry Johnson was using to demonstrate, okay, here's what we're doing, here's what we're doing. That's not only Larry Johnson saying, hey, I trust this kid that, you know, this isn't a player of his, but he's treating him like he is a player of his, but also just putting forth the effort there to like really use him. Not surprising, like you said, he's the number three defensive lineman in the country. I was talking with Garrick after the camp, and he said, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this cycle, the 2028 cycle, he's the number one defensive lineman in the country. Versatile player. He said, I can play on the edge. I can play in the middle. You can read the story I wrote about him on Bucknuts, but Larry Johnson, at least according to Hall, compared him to Chase Young and just the way that he works. He talked to me. This is Hall talking, Kalen talking, that he talked to me about the fact that they used to have to take Chase Young off the field because he was wrecking the offense in practice. And he said, you know, he could do similar things. He's got several, you know, quite a few schools in it, both Texas A&M. He's going to visit Oregon. He's already visited SMU, but he is from Louisville. And he mentioned that proximity is a factor because he wants his family to be able to see him play regularly. He talked about, you know, I took a nap in the car, woke up, we were here, easy drive. So I like where the Buckeyes are. He seemed to really like working with Larry Johnson there. A couple other guys to mention. It was a good defensive line camp. Nicholas Stevenson out of DeMatha, where Chase Young ironically came from. He's a three-star guy, but also a guy Ohio State prioritized. I thought he looked very solid. We'll have a story on him. And then Asa Birch, who's more of an edge, but is being recruited by James Laurinaitis. So you could look at that as a potential linebacker edge, you know, that Arvell Reese kind of role. He was another one. I think Garrick's writing a story about him, but he was another one who stood out. The defensive line was where I spent most of my time yesterday because there were multiple guys there. There were some other, they offered safety that I did not see play, so I don't want to talk too much about him. That was, trying to pull up the list here. You can find it on our site. Where is the name here? Sorry, great podcasting. Anyway, go over and look at Bucknuts. Troy Bishop, that was it, the DB they offered. There was also linebacker Jay Shell, who worked out with James Laurinaitis before the camp. That's always a good sign of what the Buckeyes think of a player if you're getting to work out ahead of everyone else. So yeah, lots of good stuff. Garrick has a story up about the standouts in there. Most of the guys I mentioned are listed, but he has a little bit more detail. So if you want to read that. And yeah, as you said, another camp tomorrow, and we'll be out there.
I lied to you. I'll get you out of here on this. I know you and Dan touched on this last week. I was off last week, and we all can remember where we were when Myles Garrett, the trade went down. I think we'll find out. Great thing about sports is we'll find out. I think it's the classic great trade for both teams. I think it was a great trade for the Rams. They're trying to win now, and I think the Browns. If I'm the Browns, I would trade Denzel Ward too. I have a good friend who's a Browns fan who's saying, I'm glad they're not trading Denzel Ward. That'd be too much. And I'm like, if you guys are trying to rebuild, go all in on the rebuild. Tank this year, trade Denzel Ward for more picks, and build for the future. Get your quarterback in the draft next year. And I think it's great for the Rams. Their mantra, your Rams, the mantra of F them picks. I won them a Super Bowl once, and maybe it'll do it again. Can we have a Bengals-Rams rematch at SoFi? We good with that? But I think it's the classic great trade for both teams. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I had Bill Kerlick of former Bucknuts fame call me and ask me what I thought about it. And I said the same to him. Look, I think the situations for both teams are super different, right? And the Rams need to win now. Now, the Rams really like Jared Verse, who obviously came back to Cleveland as part of the trade. They did not want to trade him. Like, this trade could have been done probably around the draft had they been willing to include Jared Verse. I really like Jared Verse. I was actually, you mentioned kind of remembering where you were. I was at a doctor's appointment and I'm talking to the doctor and like my phone's in my pocket just going crazy. And I'm like, what is going on? And I knew that there had been some rumors about this. I actually reached out to a Rams writer that I know. And he told me, you know, I'll probably, if this does happen, it'll probably be down the road. So I wasn't even thinking, I was like, what is going on? And so I finally got to look at my phone. I was like, oh, wow. And then I saw Jared Verse in it. And I was like, man, if they could have kept Jared Verse, and then the Rams GM basically said the same thing, was like, we were really trying to keep Jared Verse. I think Browns fans are really going to like him. He's a leader. He's a young leader. He became a big part of the Rams defensive room. And I think he's just going to grow into, you know, is he Myles Garrett? No, but who is, right? The Rams needed a guy who could get home consistently, you know, obviously with what Myles Garrett did last year was setting the sack record. The pressure rate of Jared Verse and Myles Garrett is similar. Jared Verse just needs to get to the quarterback. He'll obviously be able to grow in Cleveland. And then the draft picks, now you've got more ammunition if you need to trade up or add pieces. I know a lot of people have said, well, if the Rams are good, these picks are, you know, kind of useless later on. The Rams win the Super Bowl this year and Matthew Stafford retires. Ty Simpson is your starting quarterback potentially next year. Like the Rams have a good roster, so I don't think they're going to completely fall off, but they did after the last time they won the Super Bowl. So those picks could become a lot more valuable quickly. Also, Matthew Stafford had a degenerative disc issue in his back. He could decide to retire even if they don't win the Super Bowl. And so, you know, I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but it's possible that these picks look better than they do now. And then if Jared Verse develops, like, the Cleveland side of this, we won't know for sure for another 3 years, right? But I do think right now it looks like the Rams got what they needed and a guy who can help them win immediately, and the Browns got things that they can build towards the future and sort of fits their timeline a bit more.
Great stuff from Patrick Murphy. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And the World Cup's just one day away.
Yeah. United States men's national team 2 days away.
Two days away, yes.
A little night game, a little 9 p.m. action against Paraguay. All right. Well, hopefully we can at least get out of the group stage and win a game. That'd be good. That's my goal. Get out of the group stage and then win a game in the knockout round. Getting to the quarterfinals would be fantastic.
Well, there's two rounds before the quarterfinal now because they expanded the tournament. Because everything is expanding. NCAA tournament, college football playoff, even the World Cup, which has been the same for years.
Went from 32 to 48.
Yeah.
Yep. And we have Australia and Turkey also in our group, as well as
Paraguay. I will be at the Australia game.
Nice. I will be at Hollywood Casino Columbus for watch party. We're having a watch party this Friday night, and we're having a watch party the following Friday for the game against Australia. I think that's like a 3 o'clock game. Does that sound right? You're going to be there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because it's noon out there. So yeah, I'm in Seattle. You'll be at Hollywood Casino. I'll be at City Tavern.
Yeah. You got me beat being in Seattle. Yeah, and doesn't Australia, isn't there a nickname for their soccer team, the Socceroos?
Socceroos, yes.
Socceroos.
Yeah, I've heard that their fan base is a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to sort of the mixing there. Hopefully no hooligan antics out in Seattle.
No, the Socceroos are good partiers, so.
Yeah.
Just like the Americans. All right, good stuff, Pat. I appreciate it. And thanks to everybody for tuning in. Fun show here with Patrick Murphy. Dan will be with you with the boys talking recruiting tomorrow. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day. Go Bucks.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.